You know, somebody asked me a while back, why Ready to Go Ministries? Good question. The best way to answer a question is what? By Scripture, as we know, with all the teachers we have in the congregation. And so that's where we came up with Ready to Go. And it's a catchy name, but it's also a biblical principle. And it's a friendly name, too. It's not Ross Antonakis Ministries or anything like that. God bless you and your family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good witnessing tool, by the way, when you hear somebody sneeze out in public. God bless you and your family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People go, uh-oh, mention Jesus in public. You got yourself a riot, but you got yourself an opening for a witness opportunity. Ready to Go Ministries. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready to go. Turn to your other neighbor and said, are you ready to go? You know, so Ready to Go Ministries, what are we about? What's the vision? Hopefully we'll talk about a little bit of that in brief form, not all of my heart, but I want to expose some of my heart to you today. I don't get a chance to do that much as a preacher and minister many times in ministry. The busyness of it all doesn't enable me to get to know people or speak from my heart as much as I would like to. But the fact is, today I'll be speaking from my heart and you'll be hearing from my heart, as well as some scripture that I have that I want to exhort a little bit before we get started on the details of the ministry. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Listen to it. I've meditated on it so much, and each time I go through it, I find something else, and that's what Scripture does. It's alive and active. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Ready to Go Ministries. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who is I? Well, we'll get to that. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Wow. Isaiah, what a great chapter, 6 of Isaiah. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying. Who heard the voice? It was Isaiah hearing that voice. And then the interesting part of that scripture, God is speaking when he says, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Here's an interesting thought. I'm going to put my sanctified imagination out there a little bit. Think of God in this room, and he's saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? See, he's not asking anyone directly, but it's an invitation. Think about it. First of all, God is making the invitation. He's putting it out there. And God knows what's going to happen here, obviously. But Isaiah is there hearing the voice, and he didn't go directly to Isaiah. He said it like this, like I'm saying it to you today. Whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? Now, you think that in today's Christian, you know, realm, that everybody would be jumping at that invitation. Wow! God speaking and God indirectly making this statement, people in the back row should be running to the front row. Shouldn't they? You know, the old statement that you might hear, why do 10% of the Christians do 90% of the work? I think that's true. Christians are just not doing the work. And you don't do the work to become a Christian. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Aren't you glad that salvation can't be earned? And so now we get saved. You might have gotten saved early on, or you might have gotten saved late in life. Whatever the case may be, you get saved, you're sanctified, you're set apart, you're fit for the Master's use, and you have to say, well, now what? What is it now? I'm saved by grace. I have my ticket to heaven. What now? I know you thought that, and I thought that too. And so we go to Scripture to find out, what do Christians do? I mean, what do they look like? I mean, it's easy through Scripture to pick out who a Christian is and who's not a Christian. That's by the way they live their life, right? Maybe that's why you don't see as many people in ministry as the Word of God exhorts to, because they're not living a holy life. God wants to use a what? A clean vessel, doesn't He? Come on now. But what I like about Isaiah, God has put that statement out. Whom shall I send? It's like, He knows what's going to happen, but He's saying that today to see who responds to the invitation. By the way, an invitation from God is a privilege. Serving God is a privilege. It should never be a chore. It is work. It is work. Getting up at 6 o'clock on Saturday is work. Getting prepared for a lesson, you know, days before is work. Sure it is. Jesus said, I'm here to do my Father's work. It's 12 hours in a day. I'll do work in the day and rest at night. So Isaiah is saying, then I said, here I am, send me. And that's what we need to be hearing from many more Christians than we do. Can you imagine if you take a big sanctuary and a big church and this statement was made and people came and ran to the altar. Send me! It's I! Send me! That's what we should be doing. The encouraging thing for you is that you're part of this group because that's why you're here. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm very encouraged by your presence. I'm very encouraged by your presence. And so, as we look into the Scripture, it's so full of truth. You know, at times the prophets would be invited to participate in the heavenly court, and that was God's sovereign way of doing things. He, at times, invited the prophets to do the work. But more importantly, for you and I, we're not prophets. But here the Lord uses the pronoun us. Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? What is us? Who is us? Well, I'm going to explain that. He used the pronoun us to mean himself and his angels. God can get angels to do his work. I don't think there's an angel in this room because I know everybody. Whoa, that was a good one. But God uses angels for his bidding. Sure he does. But angels are created beings. They're perfect beings that were created by God. But you and I are not perfect. We've been redeemed if we put our trust in Christ. We've repented of our sins, and that makes us righteous positionally in Christ. But we're far from perfect. I mean, if you think you are, you're lying, because the Bible says you're not perfect. You are a sinner. You still sin even as a Christian. But here's the profound meditation on this passage is that he had angels at his disposal, obviously, to do his bidding here when he was speaking to Isaiah. Certainly he could have done that. But God chose to do something else, didn't he? So he threw the question out there, and we'll throw the question out there today. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Well, that's a good statement. It's a great statement. Send me where? Send me where? Isaiah didn't know where. He didn't know where yet. He knew it was an invitation from God to serve him in some capacity, and it didn't matter to Isaiah. He said, send me, wherever it is. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's my sister's house in Atlanta, Georgia, or someplace in India, or the assisted living home with all the seniors down there just soaking up the Word of God. Man, this is powerful. And so as I relate to our mission statement in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God didn't use the angels here. And so Isaiah said, send me. Send me where? Oh, maybe Isaiah spoke too soon. What do you mean? And Isaiah has some second thoughts throughout that passage of Scripture. I think it's in 9 or verse 10. He's like, how long after he found out his mission? Isaiah found out his mission. But before God asked the question, he sanctified Isaiah with the seraphim, with the burning coals on his lips. He anointed him and he forgave him of his sins. Isaiah was being humble first. And God uses those clean vessels. So the forgiveness of sin is there. Before you get involved in ministry, what is this passage of Scripture saying for us? Get right with God. Get right with God. If you're not right with God, if you've got sin in your life that you know God is telling you to get rid of and repent of and move on, now is the time. Now is the time. So before we get started in our journey in ministry, let's repent and move on, and God will forgive us. He's faithful and just to do that. Let's live holy lives before God. Let's get in His Word and do what it says do. So send me. What does that mean, that statement? In ancient Middle Eastern religions, only divine beings are sent out as messengers of the gods. Interesting, isn't it? Yet the God of Scripture, that's the God of creation, the Father and God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, uses human beings as a matter of course. Think of it. He uses people with frailties and flaws and shortcomings like you and me to do His work. If He wanted it perfect, He'd send the angels down. But He chooses not to. I'm glad. I'm glad of the invitation. Whom shall I send? Is it you, Ross? Who is it? Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? God wasn't interested in sending His angels down to do this ministry work for Isaiah. So what happens? Only a certain time does He use angels in a direct way to reveal His will to humankind. That's clear in Scripture. But here's the thing. Isaiah's willingness proceeded from a grateful and humble heart. He wanted to serve the God who had forgiven him of his sin. Why should we want to serve God? Out of obligation? No. Look at the gift of eternal life that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That should be all the reason we ever need to want to serve Him. That's all the reason we need to say, God, send me. I'm listening. God, send me. Well, I don't know where yet. It doesn't matter. Send me. Isaiah didn't know what his commission was. Boy, if he'd have known what his commission was, what would have happened? Do you know what his commission was? I don't think I'd take that commission if I knew about it. If God said, yeah, I'm going to send you, but everybody you preach to is going to be hard-hardened. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you at all. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have rotten tomatoes thrown at you every time you preach. Nobody's going to hear a word you say. Take the commission. Isaiah. He found out. And so Isaiah, being human, he said, later in the passage, and you can read it for yourself later on, Isaiah chapter 6, he did say, after knowing that commission, he did say, how long? That's his humanity in it. He's a human being, right? We're all humans, aren't we? We're going to struggle. We're going to struggle through ministry together. Because we're not perfect. And I'm the least perfect one in here, and I have the more flaws than anybody in here. So if I hurt your feelings and not meaning to, will you forgive me in advance? I've never intentionally hurt anybody's feelings, but I have before. because I had too much on my mind, or I was focused on something. I didn't give the opportunity of that person's undivided attention, and I can't do it all the time. And lots of times in ministry, it's going to get heated. And I'm sorry already in advance for those times, because they will happen. But you and I, we're not doing it for anybody else except for, like Isaiah, for God. We're doing it for God, not me. We're doing it for God, not your next door neighbor. When you show up at 7:30 on Saturday mornings and you're sleepy and you're tired and you're hungry and you had a rough night, you're not doing it for anybody except for God. And I got some encouraging words for y'all. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I know what your purpose in life is. You don't have to take an 8-week course to find out. You know what? It's the same purpose as mine, according to Scripture. It's to glorify God. There it is. I just did an 8-week course on a purpose-driven life. No life, if you're redeemed by the blood of Christ, no life has been driven by a purpose. You're driven by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And you're here for one purpose and one purpose only. It's the same purpose as me. It's the same purpose as your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know your purpose.
I know your purpose.
And turn to your neighbor and say, it's to glorify God. There you go. 8-week course. I just preached a book about this thick. Well, I could preach that too, maybe another time. But I want to encourage you, and I believe I am. And Isaiah is encouraging us. He says, send me, because God forgave him of his sin. I mean, when we think about the awesomeness of God's forgiveness, we're going to say, send me, send me. I'm not going to sit around and ask for an answer. Well, send me if it's going to be what I want and, you know, if it's convenient to me. And Isaiah didn't do that. God forgave him. In verse 7, Isaiah says, or God speaking, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is covered. Glory be to God. I got Baptistal on you and I can get Baptistal on you. Glory be to God. Praise His name. Your sins are forgiven. Your iniquity has been taken away. You're set free from the law of sin and death. Now it's time to get busy. You know, 10 years to God is, or 10 years to us is about 24 minutes to God. You're going to die soon. I'm 47. Everybody's getting up there. People are dying young. Man, I don't know how long we'll be on this earth. But man, while we're here, let's do something. Let's be the best administrator that you can be. Let's shake a hand and smile to someone that needs some encouragement. That's ministry. Walking these hallways in the name of the living God is ministry. Walking the hallways. I usually do it about 8 times every Saturday. Bing, bing, boom. I'm back and forth. Checking on the children back here, making sure all the teachers are not getting mobbed and abused. Man, you know, do it in the name of God. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. And God will be honored to bless you. So, your iniquity is taken away. I mean, that's preaching. But that's encouraging. None of you that's been saved by grace will ever see the pits of hell. And there are people down there today are going like, just one more chance. Just, if I know it now, give me one more chance. And they'll spend eternity thinking that. You will never have that. You'll spend forever in the presence of Almighty God. And you'll be like Christ forever. How encouraging can that be? You know, Jeremiah said, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard His word? Who has marked His word and heard it? Oh, there we are. That's a whole sermon there. But if you're not reading God's Word on a daily basis, I'm going to ask you why not. Read it as much as you feed your belly, and your life will change. It may not get better. Your circumstances may not get better, but you become more like Christ. And that's through His sufferings. People want a better way of life. God, give me this. God, give me that. No. No. I want to be more like Christ. Don't you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, let's take that one out. Let's erase that statement. That I may know Him through the fellowship of His sufferings. You mean I may have be called to suffer as Christ suffered in order to be more like Christ? Man, I hope y'all getting that. That's contrary to what's being preached today. I want you, and I know you want me, and prayerfully, to be more like Jesus. I'm not asking for a better way of life. I want to be more like Christ, and that may be through His sufferings. I don't think any of us will be called to suffer as Christ suffered. It may happen. So as you stand in the counsel of the Lord, as perceived and heard in His Word, who has marked His Word and heard it? Have you? Have you marked His Word and heard it? To mark His Word and to hear it, you have to be in His Word and obey it. I can't imagine a born-again child of God going through a day without reading something in God's Word. What are we thinking? Well, I'm pretty spiritual and I've got enough leftover in my leftover tank to get me through this week without getting in God's Word. Why, you know? Dangerville. Danger. Danger. I hide Your Word in my heart that I might not. Why is there so much sin in the body of Christ today? Because they're not hiding the Word of God in their hearts. You saturate yourself with the Word of God, guess what happens? Well, the Bible says you sin less. You sin less, you become more sanctified. You sanctify, you become more holy. You live a holy life. And when you do sin, and the words pop in your head, and you sin in your thought life, it grieves you. It grieves you. You can't take it. You have to go repent. And you stay clean before God. And then God says, I'll send you. I'll send you to the children's ministry with those infants 0 to 2. Bless their hearts. And I'll send you to the children's ministry 3 to 6 to get a lesson to them, get them quiet. I'll send you down to the 7 to 12s, teach them a Bible lesson. Those children will remember many of these lessons for a long, long time. Your impact on this place, the women and children here, is for eternity. You can say, well, Lord, I asked You, send me, and You did. You didn't say it was all going to be a bed of roses. It's not. Some of the most discouraging times are going to be in ministry. It will be. But some of the most blessed times that you can ever experience will happen in ministry. It will happen when you walk down the hallway and a child or a woman that you've taught in the chapel here will say, oh, remember that lesson you taught 3 months ago? No. Well, it blessed my heart. I took that lesson, I applied it to my life, and God revealed it to me, and I'm living it out. And you'll walk and you'll say, that's it. That's why I'm here. And then you get in your car can't crank up. That's not what God promised me, a clunker car. Really? God loves us. And He's demonstrated His love for us, not giving us a fulfilled life, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how Christ proved that He loved us. So when you walk in the counsel of God, counsel means God's counsel is available to the one who walks in the fear of the Lord. Do you walk in the fear of the Lord? To His Word. Who understand God's working in nature and history. God is working in your life. He's working to glorify Himself To know God's purpose, not your purpose, but to know His purpose for your life. You know, God's will is for you. You can do God's will and glorify Him without ever leaving your house. You don't have to work in ministry to glorify God. Again, it's not about working to please God. He could get His angels to do it. But He's going to use us. Are you ready? So counsel, are you in God's counsel? That's His purpose, that's His will, that's what counsel means in the Greek. Prothesis. Prothesis, actually. The word denotes an intention or a plan. So the word counsel, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, I believe we all are, or we wouldn't be here, denotes an intention or a plan. You intended to be here for this meeting. And it literally means, in the Greek, more transliteration, a laying out beforehand. You plan your lessons, don't you? You plan to be here, and you're here. It's like a blueprint, the counsel. If you're in God's counsel, it's like a blueprint. You know, a contractor would never start a house without blueprints. And so it also can mean the word counsel in the Greek, prothesis. It can also mean the result of deliberate determination. Let me say it again. The result of deliberate determination. Do you have deliberate determination on allowing God to use you with children, with women, with serving them food, with being there at the front, being there at the back, being at a place that God will use you no matter where it is? All these meanings of counsel and purpose and will are contrary to the saying you might hear many, many times in Christian circles, let go and let God. That's contrary to God's word as it's written. You don't let go and let God. If I let go and let God, I'd be in my house right now saying, I'm letting go, God. I'm letting go. I've got to do what the Bible says do. I've got to lay out beforehand in prayer and supplication. And I've got to understand it's all that's a result of deliberate determination of what God wants to do in my life. I'm not going to walk around and say, let go, let God. No, that's not what the Scriptures say. I want to be in God's counsel. And I hope you do too, and I know you do. So we're in God's counsel. We walk in the fear of the Lord according to His word, not from something I say or something you hear a preacher say or any of that. It's what the Word of God says. And if Christians get back to reading the Word of God for themselves, things will be different. Things would be much different because you'll discern what you hear preached or teach immediately if you're in God's Word. Y'all are shaking your head like, yeah, that's right. So, I'm blessed, not because everything's going right in my life. I'm blessed because of what Isaiah said in verse 7. And I know you're blessed too. My iniquity has been taken away. And my sins have been covered because I put my faith in Christ. And I believe everybody here has done that. If you haven't done it, what's the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation. By the way, if you've never been born again, you're in jeopardy of losing your soul for eternity. And you may have grown up in church, gotten baptized, walked the aisle, carried the biggest Bible in Sunday school class. But if you've never been born again, as the Bible says, you're in jeopardy of losing your soul for eternity. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you have been born again. Somebody said, well, I'm not quite sure when that was. Well, it's not important that you know the date or the hour, but it's important that it happened somewhere in your life. So the first thing in ministry is to be consecrated before God. And if I had my prayers answered today, I would rather see no one show up for ministry from this day on to work in God's vineyard. I would rather see them getting the Word every day through prayer and reading and meditating on God's Word and becoming more like Christ through Scripture than for you to be showing up every Saturday and missing out on that. If ministry ever interferes with that, then take ministry out of the equation, because you're not ready. Get in God's Word every day. And so the consecrate thing, Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I don't know what those things are for you. You don't know what they are for me. But Joshua says, hey, just go out there and let God. He didn't say that. And nowhere can I find that in Scripture. He said, consecrate yourselves. Then the Lord will do amazing things in your life. Glory be to God for Scripture. So, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Nothing. No. Do what you can, when you can, where you can. We are a liberated ministry. In other words, we know our freedom in Christ. Are y'all with me? We know our freedom in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're free in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, man. I'm under no obligation to work a certain way or be a certain place to maintain my salvation. Glory. And if you see somebody that has a legalistic twist about them, comfort them with the good news that they're free in Christ. I'm as hard a worker as they are out there. I'm a part of every ministry we do. But I know my freedom in Christ. So you're having issues with that, please see me. Because it won't take me long to convince you through Scripture that you're free in Christ. Are y'all with me? So I'm going to close, and then we're going to talk about ministry details. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Here's the thought. Get ready. Get set. Go. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready, get set, go. These words from our childhood are very important for us today as we seek to do God's will. Get ready, get set, get go. God wants us to be ready. Why? Through consecration. But all the personal preparation in the world is not going to make a difference if we have not dedicated ourselves and consecrated ourselves to do everything that we do to glorify God. Your purpose in life is to glorify God. I should write a book. Be a big seller. The title would be, I Know Your Purpose. Whoa! 1995! I know your purpose because I can read it in Scripture for myself. That's why we have to be in God's Word every day. What plans do you have for this next year? What plans do you have for this next year? Remember, we talked about what counsel means, and we broke it all down in the Greek. It means a blueprint. It means a laying out beforehand. It means results of deliberate determination. Here's a question for you. Christians don't want to make commitments. So if I show up there, I'm there. And if I don't show up there, it's not because... Whatever. Here's a question for you. Christians are making commitments all the time, everywhere, in every spot of the world. They're making commitments to their employer. They made that commitment. 8 o'clock showing up, 5 o'clock I'll leave, I'll put in that 8 hours a day, I made that commitment. Another commitment is I made a commitment to my spouse, to my husband, to my wife, so I'm going to make a commitment. I'm not going to be like, well, honey, I'm just not going to show up today. I don't want to make a commitment. No, Christians are making commitments. They're making commitments with their bodies to get their bodies healthy. It takes some work, doesn't it? To eat right, to exercise. It's a struggle, especially with our time schedules the way they are. But we're making commitments all the time to things that don't matter in eternity. So here's the question. Why aren't Christians making the commitment to God's work? It's not about everybody preaching or everybody teaching. I mean, if you're healthy minded and you're healthy in your body, you can show up to serve food to those who are less fortunate. I love serving food. It's like Christianity 101 for me. But I get blessed when they come into the serving line and I'm serving, I'm tired, and I'm getting to know the person I'm serving with. I don't know them very well, but I got to know them because I'm serving. And women would come by, and even little children, Mr. Ross, are you teaching today? I'd like to be teaching today. I'll maybe teach next week. Well, we want some Bible studies. Little children giving me some encouragement back there with my hairnet on. And then you'll get women back there. Oh, we thank God for y'all. Well, we're not doing it for the praises of men, but, you know, we need encouragement. We need encouragement. God will use a woman, a little child, anybody He chooses to encourage you when you need it the most. I get encouraged by God through many, many ways when I need it the most. Because we're being transformed into the image of Christ, right? And that can be very difficult. But Jesus liked to serve food, didn't He? He did. And He used His stumbly, fumbly disciples to distribute the food. Again, He could have used angels, or He could have made all those lunches happen in a twinkling of an eye in all the laps of all those people. Can you imagine what was going on in the disciples' minds when Jesus chose to use them to distribute the food? But Jesus was organized, getting circles of 50 and 100. He didn't do it in a panicky way, but He used those stumbly, fumbly disciples. Could you imagine them picking up the lunch, taking it? What's He got us doing? Man, it's hot out here. Can you believe all these people? We got to feed all these people today. That's what we think, don't we? I've thought it before. Serving food and you think it's just about over. And then the next shift shows up. And there's another 100 women and children. And you're tired. But you know what? The disciples were tired too, and so was Christ, because He was human too. Serve, serve, serve where you can, when you can, where you can. So as I close for the third time, what plans do you have for tomorrow? What plans do you have for tomorrow? It's not concerning me to know, but I'm asking the question, what plans do you have for tomorrow? What plans do you have for this ministry? Not for Ready to Go, but for the positions we have, for all the things that we have available. And if you ever see something that we don't have in place, come to us and go, I've got an idea for a ministry. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go for it. And you're going to go, wow. I'm open. We're open. This ministry is open for everyone. What plans do you have for today? Before we get set and go, let's get ready by dedicating ourselves to the Lord and His work. Dedicating ourselves through consecration. The Lord will do mighty things, Joshua said in chapter 3, verse 5, after we consecrate ourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things through you. Every one of you. Do you want to be consecrated? Let's pray together. Father of mercies, of grace, and of goodness, I recognize that my plans and my ways are not necessarily your plans and your ways. Please help me, Lord, as I dedicate myself to reading Scripture this year. Help me to read Scripture and meditate on it as much as I feed my stomach with natural food. And listening to your counsel, to be in your counsel, to be in your purpose, to be in your will. Help me, Father, to do that. Help us as a ministry. Help each and every person that is in this congregation listening to this message. Help them. Guide them through Scripture. Conform them into the image of your Son. I want to honor you, Lord. You're worthy of honor. I want to honor you in all that I do and dedicate my efforts and myself to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask. Amen.